You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, we are efforting Michael McHenry. I guess he, what does Joe say? The Belfont snorkel, isn't that?
The Belfont snorkel.
Yes. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Of course, social media's biggest loser brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Reserve your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com. Social media's biggest loser, of course, is Malzi.
Malzi.
Or Donnie. One or the other. I don't know what Joe. Joe says one of those two the out.
Donnie's lost an entire Donnie, he says.
Right. Exactly. And so there's that. The Penguins yesterday, as you just said, made a plethora of moves. A plethora of moves. And so you look at what they've did, and I don't know. What's the most significant thing they did yesterday, City Limits, in your mind?
I'd probably trade Riley Smith. Because the main takeaway, we knew Smith did not want to be here. He wanted out, whether it be at the deadline or in the offseason this year, looking to go somewhere else. And they acquired another second-round draft pick. But the second-round draft pick is not until 2027. You can close but guarantee that player will never play with Evgeny Malkin, maybe will never play with Chris Letang, and I would think probably not ever play with Sidney Crosby. So that's one takeaway. The most notable name is probably Lizotte, the forward that they signed, former Kings player, went to a deal just short of $2 million on a two-year deal. It's the only player that they signed of real substance to a two-year deal. Like, I like Anthony Beauvillier, but it's not 2018 anymore. He's not a 20-goal scorer anymore. Former Nashville Predator, solid player, somebody who maybe is going to be good on the third line, probably a fourth-line guy. He's still young, just 27, has played 8 years. Last year, 5 goals, 12 assists, 17 points. He had 2 points in the playoffs last season, but he played for a lot of teams. He played for the Canucks, Blackhawks, and the Preds last season.
Well, I will say this. It's one of those things to me where the most significant thing that happened probably was trading Riley Smith because you got his money off the books.
Right. That was a decent amount of money.
So it's one of those things where if you get the money off the books, and that's why, you know, now I would tell you they got to get rid of that's why I said yesterday they got to trade Tristan Jarry. I mean, I think what happens sometimes is people, so some of these front office people, they convince themselves that you know, well, we've got to get this or we can't trade him. To me, that's the wrong approach. To me, I'm willing to roll the dice with Blomqvist and basically call every team in the NHL and say, hey, do you need a goalie? We've got Tristan Jarry.
Well, let me play this Kyle Dubas audio for you about, because I'm glad you brought that up about Jarry, because he talked about, because there was the report from, I think it was Josh Yeoi, that said that the Penguins were trying to move Tristan Jarry, at least seeing what teams would offer for him, and nothing amounted to it. And Dubas alluded to how they will not trade players for just bad returns to get the contracts off the books.
The only thing that's really important to us is that if we're moving players out, the return has to be good. I don't think we're a team with where we're at, Josh, right now, where we're going to be looking to do these types of deals that where we're looking to move salary out, willing to do poor deals or attach any assets. I don't think we have any players that fall in that tranche. But I think with where we're at right now, would be more on the opposite. Would be if there were deals where we were getting assets that best serve us to get to that goal, we would probably look to take those on. So.
Okay.
My main takeaway from that is, and he did have to basically try to correct himself and say, well, we don't have any players that fit that description, because obviously the speculation is going to go right towards Tristan Jarry, so trying to clean that up a little bit.
Right,
but that
right.
reads Tristan Jarry. That's what it sounds like to me.
Right, right.
But that's the move that they were trying to make in that contract. Maybe Ryan Graves, but who's going to take that Graves deal? No one's going to take
that's
that
contract. That's what I'm saying, though. Those are deals that they should be making. Get Ryan Graves, get Tristan Jarry, and if you, again, to use the Buddy Ryan, the famous Buddy Ryan line, we'll trade him for a six-pack. It doesn't even have to be cold.
Well, that's fine, but is anybody going to want to take Ryan Graves with, four or five years left?
I mean, you got to find that out, you know what I mean? Even if you have to retain maybe $1.5 million of his salary or something, to get that salary off the books, to get Jari's salary off the books, you know what I mean?
I mean, Jari's making $5 million, but I still don't think that it's too big of a cap hit to where a good team or maybe a fringe team that thinks that maybe with a goalie they can be pushed over the top wouldn't want him for the right return.
That's what my point is.
But the Penguins probably want a second-round pick for him.
Yeah, my point is, if I was put in charge of the Penguins right now, I would look at those two contracts and I'd say, I don't care what you get back. You can get back a sub-single-A rookie league scrub for both of them. If you get them off the books, it's a win.
Well, it might be what the Blues did in trading Kevin Hayes to the Penguins.
Exactly.
And having to package a second-round pick with it. And obviously the Penguins are in no mood to give up a pick to be able to get rid of the contract.
But I would give up maybe like I'll tell you what, we'll give you Jarry and, you know, not a top five prospect, but maybe prospect 10 or 12. Somebody who's maybe become a good player, but probably not close to helping you now.
Like, I'm not high on Jarry, but somebody will trade for him as their number one goalie, you would think, in the right package. Especially if the Penguins eat maybe $1 million.
Yes.
Think they can't get a third for that? Maybe a second?
Right. I mean, that's the way I look at it. You know what I mean?
Like a goalie needy team.
I mean,
just trying to think one off the top. My New Jersey got a goalie. Boston traded one, I know. So there have been some moves on the goalie front.
Right.
Which probably doesn't help the Penguins at this point. It shows that there's a market.
Yeah, there's no question about it. It's one of those things where now, you know, the moves they have to make, have to be those kind of deals where you shed some salary. Otherwise you can't do anything. And the bottom line is most of the good players are off the board in free agency, but you can at least trade for some guys, right?
Yeah. Who was, I think was Tara Vine inside. There was somebody that was floated out there today. I can't remember who it was that the Penguins potentially were interested in. Let me see if I can find it. To the dismay of Grizzly Adams. Also, did you see that Steve Mears is going to Columbus?
Yeah.
So the Penguins are going to need a new radio voice of the Penguins after Josh Getzlaf. Mears was on TV for a while, but then flip-flop with Getzlaf to be on TV. And the Penguins released their schedule.
Right. Right. I'm trying to think here.
Here it is. Penguins, according to Josh Yowie, Penguins made an offer of Vladimir Tarasenko. The Pens only have about $4.5 million in cap space right now, with other teams heavily interested in Tarasenko.
Yeah.
That would be a huge addition, to see him play with Crosby or Malkin.
Well, I would say this. If they brought, yeah. I mean, again, they're going to make a team that's going to be competitive enough to push for a playoff spot, right? But is that good enough?
Well, Dubas said it's not good enough to make it just by one point and sneak in there, because you're, again, in that area where you're not good enough to be a true cup contender, but you're also not bad enough to where you're getting a top five pick. They're in the mushy middle, the NFL purgatory that the Steelers have found themselves in for so long, where you're basically just barely missing the playoffs, some aging stars that you're still just trying to hold on to and hope that there's another run in them. The crazy thing is, Crosby, Malkin, the last 2 years have played every single game, Paul.
Yeah.
They have not missed a game.
Yeah.
And they've missed the playoffs in two consecutive years.
That's the point.
So I don't know how much more you have to add to this team without giving it a whole entire facelift to the point where they're going to be considerable cup contenders again.
Right.
Because Malkin's not the same player. Crosby, by all accounts, still is.
But here's the larger issue. Because you have those three guys, you build your team around. You basically have to try and build a team around those three guys. And the way they want to play, and their talent, and their, you know what I mean?
Well, Kyle Dubas has also been handed the double-edged sword of, hey, we really need you to try to still go for it with these aging stars that everybody loves and is the trio that's been together the longest of anybody in all sports. But at the same time, these guys are going to be gone in a couple of years, at least Malkin and Letang. And we want to be good in 3 years. We want to be good. The old pirate philosophy from a couple of years ago, we want to be good in 25, 26, 27. The same thing applies with the Penguins. So Kyle Dubas is trying to do two things at one time that can't really be done at the same time.
Yeah. Well, again, you either are going to rebuild or you're going to compete.
You got to pick a lane.
Pick one or the other. And my problem is the way that they're set up, because they've got some really bad contracts that they have to try and work around, and because they've got, you know, three stars that you have to appease and try and, you know, convince that you're actually trying to win, so you make bad deals, you're kind of stuck in the same place, aren't you?
Yeah, I just don't know if you can do both. Can you, like, truly?
Yeah.
Can you fully do both?
No, you can't.
No.
Nope.
And that's why they're just in a play. They're stuck in between a rock and a hard place.
Right. And they're going to have to re-sign Crosby. So that's, you know, I mean.
Which I don't think anybody should have a problem with.
No, but that means now the cap space that they have created, a little bit of it, it's going to be evaporated here.
Oh, maybe cap space for next season and beyond. Like, is Crosby going to command more than the $8.7 million that he's making now? Maybe just in terms of inflation and the way that deals continue to go up. Are you going to pay Crosby $10 million or so? I'm sure he's going to, as he always has, take less to try to add more to the team. Crosby's a no-ego guy. He's got out of anybody in all of professional sports, he probably has the lowest ego of anyone that's ever played in this city.
Right, right.
The ego doesn't exist. So I can imagine him taking a team-friendly deal once again to try to help this team, but... And especially because him, I'm sure he's in all conversations, not all, but most conversations with Kyle Dubas and Mike Sullivan about the moves that are being made.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's amazing to me always. It's just amazing. We've been in this position with this team for 4 years now. 4 years we've been talking. We've had the same conversation for 4 years. We've changed general managers. You know, we've had a bunch of different players in and out. We've changed some of the assistant coaches. The thing that has stayed the same, and I say the same thing about the Steelers. I say the same exact thing about the Steelers. We've changed coordinators. We've changed general managers. We've changed quarterbacks. We've changed. There's two constants in the Steelers and the Penguins. Two things that have been a constant that both seem to be Teflon and never have any accountability for what happens. And that is Mike Sullivan and that is Mike Tomlin. It's the same conversation for the last 4 years with the Penguins and probably the last 5 or 6 years with the Steelers. That's what's so frustrating. Because to me, it's like, on the flip side of it, you know, you consider and say, well, you know, it's Hextall and Dubas that have given Sullivan the team. But again, just like Mike Tomlin, it's very clear that Mike Sullivan has a very, very, very large say and large hand in who plays and who doesn't.
Well, it's completely evident. And you think David Quinn wasn't brought in to do anything other than try to help regain the magic of Erik Karlsson?
I mean, that's the whole point.
I'm sure he has other purposes, but that's the main reason.
I think one of the you know things about it is the head coach for the last 3 years could have been pushing to, you know, move on from the three-star model. And if he did, he probably would have gotten his way. They would have been able to rip it apart a little bit. But no, that's not how it works.
Well, here's the other end of it as well. Look at Tampa Bay and Steven Stamkos.
Right.
He's gone to Nashville, 4-year deal with only, what, $7 million a year? Could you imagine if the Penguins, and Tampa Bay is getting significant, significant flack for this.
Right.
Like, their organization is being put to shame by a lot of people, whether it be fans, even just observers of hockey, people that don't even know too much about hockey, is just disrespecting Tampa Bay right now for supposedly disrespecting Steven Stamkos. If the Penguins did the same thing with Evgeny Malkin, would you rather have Crosby, Malkin, Letang finish their careers together, even if the last couple of years are the mushy middle and you're not getting much done? Or would you rather sour a relationship with a player like Malkin, or like maybe Stamkos is with Tampa Bay, and have to deal with that on the other end of it?
Yes.
It's a hard place to be in. It's a hard conversation, but I think it's a good one.
Right. But again, I don't understand. So would you rather have 3 years, two more years, or two or three more years of this mediocrity, barely squeaking into the playoffs or just missing the playoffs for the next 3 years so you can watch these three stars play together? The one thing the Steelers have done well, right? I mean, if the Steelers were the Penguins, Ben Roethlisberger would still be the quarterback.
Right. Well, I mean, the Penguins are in a much different situation than when they re-signed Malkin and Letang than the Lightning are now, where you can just insert Jake Guentzel and still a very viable Stanley Cup contender, where just a couple of years ago, the Penguins' decline was in full effect.
It was. It was easy to see. That's my point. But if the Steelers operated the way the Penguins operate, I think Troy Polamalu would still be He would still be a starting safety for them. You know what I'm saying? That's the point. At some point, you have to say, do you want your team to win, or do you want it to be a nostalgia tour? Which one do you want?
Malkin was still playing decently well at the time when they did sign him. Like, the decline has been in the past year and a half.
Right.
But it's still a good point to make. Like, if you want to move forward, it's basically, do you put the legends first, or do you put the organization and what's beneficial for the organization first? And trying to mix the two of having the legends still here while making the organization the best that it could possibly be, it's clearly evident that the two can't mix, because Father Time has taken over, as it always does.
Right.
At least in Malkin's case, and I think we might be getting there.
But again, I think the largest thing is, over the last two seasons, you've gotten 81 or 82 games from Sidney Crosby.
Every game.
Both years, you've gotten 81 or 82 games from Crosby, or from Malkin both years. You got 81 or 82 games from Letang this year, and then the year before, you only got, like, say, 68 or whatever it was, but he played really well down the stretch for them, and they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Carlson played every game this year.
Yes. So what are we talking about here? I'm sorry. I rather, you know, people say, well, you know, you'll be sorry when they don't have Ben Roethlisberger anymore. No, I'll be sorry if you keep running him out there when he's clearly not good enough anymore.
That, to me, also is partially goaltending.
You know what I'm saying?
Which is why I want Tristan Jarry to be traded.
But why sign him to a big deal last year when you knew he wasn't your guy?
I didn't want them to sign him to the deal at all. Yeah. I was ready to move on and about to, you know, celebrate in the streets if they would have moved on and found another goalie.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Anyway. What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester. Fan brother brought to you by Sun Chevy. Visit Sun Chevy. Washington Road, McMurray, or sunchevy.com. High of 84. Today with sunny skies, as you hear the music for Text in the City. And, of course, we've got some good ones, I think, today. We had some people who texted in about the idea of asking Derek Shelton a question. And so, before we get that, real quick, I looked at it. Raquel, Carlson, Graves, Jarry. Those are the four you got to move.
Yeah, that's with the most money.
You got to move them.
That is the expendable
contract. You're not winning with those guys. You're not winning with those guys. So move them, use their money wisely, and move forward. All right. Go ahead. First text.
Unless you hate hot dogs, I think most fan personalities should be in the hot dog eating contest. Just my thought. Is that posing an invitation to Pony and his personal trainer, or Malzy?
I wouldn't want to be in it.
Doran? Crowley?
Isn't the charm of it the fact that it puts the producers in the spotlight?
It's a good point.
So, no, I mean, that's an okay tweet. I mean, I'll give that text like a 6. But I don't want to be in it. I don't think Pony wants to be in it. I think the whole point is we're trying to give you guys the spotlight.
George and Plum says, wow, 28 slices of pizza, 18 donuts that you ate. Paul ain't eating lunch with Tom Brady anytime soon.
No, there's a 10. Now, that was a 30 years ago. So, you know, if I tried to do that now, I'd be in a coma and probably not alive.
Here's Griffith from Manaka. He's door dashing. Says that the Penguins are the way they are because it's no longer the city of champions, we're the city of mediocrity.
I think that's a little harsh.
Yeah, a little harsh.
I mean, because at the end of the day, you know, our teams still win enough that, you know, we're better than probably half of the teams, which would be mediocre. Now, I will say, in some ways, the Penguins have really sort of fallen into mediocrity. The Steelers have fought it. You know, they've been able to make playoffs and whatever, but the Penguins the last 2 years have been the definition of mediocre. So, I don't know, maybe he's on to something.
Yeah, they've been just average, and the Steelers at least
have
been better.
I'll give him a 7.
I'll give him a 6. Joe, who he won the Pirate tickets, he texts in and says, thanks again. He's going to take his 5-year-old daughter to the game. Great show and station. Thank you.
Right. Well, that's
congrats
good.
To you, Joe.
Yes. That's good.
Other text saying offense is down around the league isn't an excuse. The Pirates' offense is 28th and last in strikeouts around the league. Other than walks, the Pirates don't rank 20th or better in any offensive category.
Right. Well, I would say this. It's one of those things where the Pirates have a lot of bad hitters that drag their offense down. I like that text, so I'll give them an 8. But the Pirates have, I think, the opportunity maybe to go get a couple of extra hitters to get better.
Well, they should. I mean, what do you have to give up for Taylor Ward for the Angels, who has a couple years left
right.
and is hitting well?
Exactly.
Like, he's good. He can play first. He can play the outfield. Brett Rooker from the A's, DH type of guy that can play the outfield. Good bat. And that's not where you have to sell out the farm for the type of talent that Luis Robert is, or the type of talent that Vlad Guerrero Jr. is. There are other really good players that are just not as talented, but produce,
yes.
which is not a bad trade-off.
Well,
if you want to keep your prospects.
That's the big thing. I think that's a really, to me, a great thought. I mean, I think they've got some good young players.
They
do. Just got to let them play. You know?
Well, somebody else asks, would you keep Jack Suwinski in the major leagues or would you send him down to the minors for the whole rest of the season and come back next year rejuvenated?
I mean, it's hard to predict the future like that. You know what I'm saying? It really is. So, because you might need him in August. What if he goes, gets red hot? You send him down, he gets red hot in July and middle of August. Somebody gets hurt, you know, you're probably going to bring him back. I honestly think the best thing you could do with Jack Suwinski is trade him.
Yeah, but you're selling him very, very low.
Maybe.
Who's going to want him at hitting 170?
Because he's 25 years old. With a left-handed bat with power that's 25 years old, I bet you'd be able to get... You're not going to get a huge return for him, but you'll get something.
Do you remember at the beginning of spring training... And Mitch Keller had his extension. And we were discussing who was going to be the next guy to get an extension for the Pirates. And Jack Suwinski's name came up on numerous occasions as a guy who could be extended next.
Well,
oh, how he's fallen off.
Yeah, I mean, again.
It's sad.
I mean, good thing they didn't do that at this point, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about him. Henry Davis was thrown out there a little bit. O'Neill Cruz. I mean, who's the next extension candidate on this team? Because they've made an extension the last 3 years, and well, I think it's good for the organization.
It'd have to be Cruz.
It'd have to be Cruz.
The problem is, man, has he...
Inconsistent.
I don't know if I'm willing to give him $135 million or whatever right now.
No, I'd probably give him one.
Maybe a deal
10?
Maybe a deal like they gave McCutchen, $51
million. I'd probably try to go in between Hayes and Reynolds.
He would take that, by the way.
He would not take it.
No. What was Reynolds?
Got 106 over, I think it ended up being 9. But there's an option in there. I think it was 8 for 106 plus an option. 106 was the total amount of money.
I wouldn't hate that for O'Neal Cruz.
No, I'd give O'Neal Cruz that.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that because I think he's got enough potential and whatnot.
Even if he has to move to first base.
Give me one more.
Somebody texted and you were talking about running 2 miles in 12 minutes. This texter said in the Army back in the 80s, we had to run 2 miles in 13 minutes for our physical training test. So 2 miles in 12 minutes is elite.
I mean, I give him a 7 or 8 for saying what he's saying, but if you're a soccer player, it's not that big of a deal.
We're talking about the Army.
Right. And the Army.
2 miles in 13 minutes.
The Army is a little different because you've got different, you know, I'm talking about soccer players.
Yeah, but what he's saying is if you can run that in, run 2 miles in 12 minutes, that's the elite endurance.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying.
I guess. I mean, I used to do it with no problem at all. None. You know what I mean? Zero problem.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 6 minute miles. You know, if you're a soccer player, you should be able to do that. Anyway, that's about it for us. Next up is the Pony and Mueller show. And so we'll do that. We'll do this again tomorrow when Joe's back.
See you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.